This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
Only knowing God as Father will satisfy. How many of you agree with that? It's only knowing God as our Father that will satisfy us. Nothing else will. And I'm going to show you that today. Amen. All right, so when we think about God and humanity, His original plan was for humanity, or at least should I say His original plan was to have a family. Isn't that so? He created Adam and Eve and knew that they would have children and the rest of us would be born. But His plan was so that He could have a family. Why did He want to have a family? So He could be a father to them. When we look at Scripture, that's what Scripture says. He wanted to be a father to a family. So fatherhood is in His heart. That's what He wants to be. And that hasn't changed. He wants to be father to you. Isn't that so? No matter how we go through the years, what happens, no matter what our experience with our natural earthly fathers are, God wants to be father to us. Amen? So therefore, when I say only knowing God as Father will satisfy, it's scriptural, it's fact. If He created us to be our Father, it's only when we get to know Him as Father that we'll really discover the purpose for Him creating us, and that will satisfy us. Isn't that so? If you don't know the relationship that you are to have with me, it's never going to satisfy. Isn't that so? Most relationships that we have, we like to identify them as something. We like to know what kind of relationship it is so that it can satisfy. We can find satisfaction in defining that relationship. Isn't that so? Like, for example, with my daughter. I know that she is my daughter, and knowing that she is my daughter satisfies me and I can be a father to her. I can't see her as my cousin. I can't see her as my, descendant of Noah from whoever. I can't do that. I have to know because then it will satisfy. It's the same thing with God. Only knowing God as Father will satisfy. Let's have a look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, today, I believe it's going to shake you up a little bit because most of us think we know Him as Father. But I'm going to show you the heart of the Father in a different way, I believe. So Galatians 4 verse 6, watch what it says there. And because you are sons, and of course that means daughters too, in other words, children of God, God has sent forth, watch this, the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the only time, you leave it there for a moment, the only time you and I can cry, Abba, Father, is when we acknowledge the Spirit of His Son within us. So only by the Spirit of His Son in us can we truly cry out, Abba, Father. Abba means Daddy. Daddy, Father. Can you see that? Let me show you how it's put from the Passion Translation. It helps us understand it even clearer. Watch this. Let's go to the Passion there. And so that we would know for sure that we are His true children, watch this, God released, watch this now, the Spirit of Sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, My Father, You are our true Father. Can you see that? So God Himself, once we receive salvation in Jesus, He wants to make sure that we pursue knowing Him as Father. Not just as God, but as Father. And to do that, what does He do? He places the Spirit of Sonship, capital S, Jesus. He places the Spirit of Jesus, the Sonship, as a Son, deep in our hearts so that we can see Him as Father and cry out to Him as Father. I mean, think about it. Just think of the dynamics behind that. Think of the thought that God put into it. He took the Spirit of His Son, Jesus, and He loves Him. He says, this is my beloved Son. He took His Spirit and put Him in your heart so that you would have the assurance that you are His child as well, but also so that you can cry out to Him as your Father, so you can get to know Him and learn to know Him as your Father. You see that? So God has helped you and me out to recognize Him and see Him as Father. Isn't that awesome? And so to give us the certainty that we can see God as our Father, as our true Father, God plays the Spirit of His Son in our hearts. Amen. And let me ask you the question, who then is the one who qualifies you to know God as your Father? Jesus does, because it's the Spirit of His Son, the Spirit of Sonship. So Jesus is the one who qualifies you to know Him as Father, not yourself, not what you do, not what you don't do, not your merit, not your performance. It is Jesus who qualifies you to see God as your Father. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through 100 rules and regulations, 100 hoops, 100 this and this, and all these steps and stones that you have to go by so that you can say Father eventually? No. God says, I'm putting the Spirit of my Son in you, and He qualifies you, and you can see me as Father. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
Somebody, don't be shy. So really, we enjoy our relationship with God best when we see Him as Father. Are you with me? Because the Spirit of Sonship is in you. The Spirit of Daughtership is in you. So the only way you're going to have a relationship with God and enjoy it is when you see yourself as His child and you see Him as your Heavenly Father. Now, I know sometimes people struggle with that. I used to struggle with that because, as you know, my biological dad, I didn't really know him. He wasn't the best from what I've told you. Then I had my stepdad, who is my dad to me, and he loved me the best he could, but he wasn't perfect. But if I was to equate what I know from a natural father into God our Father, I would not be able to receive God as my Father. Don't you agree? We have to put aside natural earthly relationships of fathers and see God the way He wants us to see Him. And He says, this is why I've put the Spirit of Sonship in you, so that you don't struggle to see me as Father. In other words, we've just got to yield to it. We've just got to receive it. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, God could have chosen to relate to us in some other way. Have you thought about that? He could have chosen to relate to us in any other way. But what did He choose? He chose to relate to you and I as Father. He could have related to us as servants. He could have related to us as churchgoers. He could have related to us as anything. But He picked Father. Why? Because He wants to be a Father to you and I. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? So, questions then. What does it mean to know God as Father? If I had a camera following me around and I had a microphone and I decided to have my own little show on TV, and I went around interviewing people, like, as you know, many of these people do, and I came to you and I said to you, what does it mean to know God as Father? And then we go quiet and we wait for your answer. What would you say? What would you say to that question? What does it mean to know God as Father? And then, if you give me an answer, then I said to you with a follow, I came up with a follow-up question, and I said, well, what does that look like? What would you say? Think about it for a moment. If someone came to you and said, what does it mean to know God as Father? And then whatever you say, they say, what does that look like? How would you explain it? And you know, it's something that I've had to think about. And today I'm going to make an attempt to answer those two questions from the Bible. What it means to know God as Father and what it looks like. So that we can see how we need to relate to God. And I know we're all seasoned, but we never arrive. We just keep going. Amen. As far as getting to know God as Father. You see, when you think about fatherhood, it talks about intimacy. It talks about confidence. It talks about a relationship that is deeper than most to God. Amen. Let's have a look at John 14, verse 8. Watch this. We're going to read it from the New King James first. Philip said to him, talking to Jesus. So Philip said to Jesus, watch this. Lord, show us the Father. And watch what he says next. And it is sufficient for us. I don't think Philip realized that prophetically, he was talking about every believer that would ask that same question. And isn't that what we want to know? Is show us the Father and it'll be sufficient. You see, Jesus was speaking about God as Father. And up to that point, remember, before Jesus came, no one knew God as Father. Jesus introduced the name of God as Father. Jesus came and introduced Him as Father. Before that, they knew Him as God, as El Shaddai, as Jehovah, as Elohim and everything else. but they didn't know him as Father. It was only Jesus that introduced him as Father. And so Philip is one of these, you know, ex-Jewish people who's trying to figure out, what does he mean by that? This is like a whole new concept for me. I always saw God as this God of fire and brimstone if I don't measure up, if I don't do what it says. And now he's talking about him as Father. And so he says to him, show it to us, show me. In other words, what does it mean to know God as Father, and what does it look like? In essence, is what he was saying. Let's have a look at that same verse from the Amplified Translation. Watch this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied. Can you see that? That's where we got the title of our message from. Only knowing God as Father will satisfy. Because that's what Philip was saying. If you can help me see God as Father, if you can help me understand what it looks like to know God as Father, then I know I will be satisfied, because now I realized that he created me to be his child, meaning that he wants me to relate to him as his as my father, or as his child, and him as my father, but I need to know what that looks like. I need to know what that means, is what he was saying. And so many people today actually need to know and should ask the same question. What does it mean to know God as Father? What does it look like? Because I don't think most people do. People know how to be religious. They know how to follow rules and regulations. They know how to, you know, when they get taught a mixture of law and grace, in other words, the old covenant way of relating to God versus the new covenant way of relating to God and mixing them, people in general, you can move on from that one. People in general don't have quite the good understanding that they need to have as far as God as Father. Isn't that true? And so Philip says, show it to us, please, Jesus. And so we see from this verse here that we will never be satisfied unless we know God as Father. And it also means that knowing God as Father is satisfying. So if you don't feel satisfied with your relationship with God or knowing God, it means that maybe, just maybe, we need to fine-tune some more in getting to know him as our Father. Amen? Anything less will leave us dissatisfied. Are you with me? There is something in us, which now we know is the spirit of sonship, that can only be satisfied by knowing God as Father. Isn't that true? Think about it. God put the spirit of sonship in you. Why? So you can cry out, Daddy, Father, so you can know him as Father. So that is in you, right? And that is only going to be satisfied when you begin to relate to God and get to know him as your Father. Otherwise, you're always going to have that dissatisfaction, and people look for that, to fill that satisfaction all over the place. They're never going to find it, because they can only be satisfied by knowing God as Father. Remember, we saw this in Galatians 4 verse 6 from the Passion. Let me show you that again. It's going to come up. Watch this. And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship. Where did he put it? Into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you are our true Father. In other words, only knowing God as Father will satisfy what's inside of you, what God has put inside of you. Isn't it amazing what God has done? He's put something inside you so that you would long to know him as Father. Why does he want you to get to know him as Father? Have you ever asked that question? Why does he want me to know him as Father? The thing is, you know, before I say anything else, temporary things cannot satisfy an eternal longing. Remember, God has put that spirit of sonship in you. It's there for eternity. Therefore, nothing temporary will satisfy that eternal longing. So the sooner we get to know God as Father, and the more we get to know him as Father, the sooner we will be satisfied and life will be satisfying. Amen. But temporary things cannot satisfy an eternal longing. True? In case you don't believe me, let me show you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Watch what it says from the Amplified. Talking about God. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. Watch this. He has also, look at what it says next, planted eternity. Notice it says planted. It doesn't say planted. Okay? So we're going with my Bible here, okay? He has also planted eternity, which means a sense of divine purpose. Where? In the human heart. A mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, and grasp what God has done, his overall plan from beginning to end. Look at those key things that I've emboldened over there. God has planted eternity, an eternal longing in our hearts. Do you see that? In our hearts. And nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. So the more we get to know God as Father, the more satisfied we will be in life. Amen. Only God as Father can satisfy the eternal longing that is in our hearts. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Watch what he says here. And watch, look out for the fatherhood aspect of it. It says there, therefore, talking to the people, this is God speaking to the people. Come out from among them. He's talking about the ungodly people. So he says, come out from the ungodly people and be separate, says the Lord. Watch this. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Watch what he says next. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. See that? So what is he saying? He's saying, come out from what doesn't satisfy, and come to me, but not just come to me. Come and know me and see me as Father. Get to know me as Father, and you as my children, and then you will be satisfied. I mean, within that verse, in essence, you can rephrase it this way. What he's saying is, come out from seeking satisfaction the way the world does, and you will find it in me as your Father. So when we realize that God longs for us to know him as Father, we begin to become satisfied. Praise God. So how do we get to know God as Father, and what does it look like? Well, I'm going to show you that, or I'm going to make an attempt to show you that, from something that we're familiar with, but I believe today you're going to see it differently in light of what we're talking about here. We know this as the parable, most people know this as the parable of the prodigal son. Some know it as the parable of the lost son. So you know what I'm talking about, right? But I'm going to show you, I don't like to refer to it that way. You know that through the years I've taught that. I don't like to refer to it as the parable of the prodigal son because the focus is not the son. I know it, and I need to get you to know it, as the parable of the heart of the Father, because that's what that parable is about. It's about showing us the heart of the Father, not the prodigal son. Are you with me? And I'm going to prove that to you today. We're going to have a look at it. So let me show you. Let's read it first, and then I'm going to just break it down a little bit with the time that I have to show you aspects of God the Father, which is going to show you what it looks like to know him as Father and, you know, knowing him as Father. It's going to reveal that to us. So let's read it. Now, before we read it, I want to ask you, look out at the emboldened words that I have, because there's keys in there that we're going to dig into later. But you'll see it'll bless you, okay? So let's read it. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Are you ready? All right. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls on me. In other words, give me my inheritance. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Wow, that's cruel, don't you think? Let's carry on reading. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Watch what it says next. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, like I said, most in Christendom understand this to be as the prodigal of the son. But in truth, it's really about the heart of the father. Amen. You can see, just reading it, just looking at those highlights, you can see it's about the heart of the father. But let's have a look at some aspects of the father, which I believe now are going to reveal to you what it looks like to know God as father. Okay, so let's begin by looking again, and it's going to come up on the screen as we go along. Luke 15:13. Let me show you something in this verse here. Remember, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Can you see from this that it didn't take very long after disconnecting himself from his father that the son ended up becoming destitute and hopeless? It wasn't long. It's days. And he lost everything and wasted everything. The moment he disconnected himself from his father, he was destitute and hopeless. What we see in that is that it's in our best interest to stay connected to our Father. Remember, this is all about God. Jesus shared these parables to give us revelations about God in heaven. And so what he's showing us here is that staying connected with him as our Father is a key for us. Amen. Now, also, look at verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You remember reading that? Well, so what we see here is, you can move on, you don't have to keep them on. The way to avoid famine and want is by staying close to the Father. Isn't that so? Don't disconnect from your Father, but also stay close to your Father, and you're not going to be in want. Amen. And then look at verse 15. It says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to feed into his fields to feed swine. Now remember, this young man was a Jew. Jews don't eat pork. So to be sent to take care of pigs and eat what they eat is a real insult. It's humiliating for a Jewish person. Are you with me? But that's where he put himself in. You see that? So notice what we see happening here. This is that his sense of value and worth began to diminish. Isn't that so? Why? Because he was no longer close to his father. So what happened? He faced humiliation. You can see that there are keys and principles that God has given us there to just help us. Don't disconnect from your father. Stay close to your father. And secondly, you know, if you sense your value and your worth going down and diminishing, it's probably because you're not close to your father as you can be, as you should be, right? So the only way to maintain our true sense of value and worth is knowing God as your father, because then we can face anything, people can judge you, whatever. Your worth and value will always be at a high. Why? Because you are close to your father. Amen? That's not what I want to share with you, but those are just things along the way. Verse 16, watch us. It said, remember, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So this man, obviously was a Gentile, sent him to go and feed his pigs. And he wanted to eat some of what the pigs were given. And you know, they weren't given food like we eat. And he wouldn't even let him have that. He says, earn your living, and then I'll pay you. Then you can go get yourself food. So he couldn't even eat that. So what does it show us here? That no one else has a heart for you like the Father. Isn't that so? No one else but the Father can and will provide for you. Isn't that so? Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So notice, the realization of how good the Father is to all those close to him will give us motivation to stay close to him. Because notice, he says, my Father, he realized that. He says, my Father is good to everyone around him. They don't go without. They actually have plenty to share. That's what my Father does for them. And he came to that realization and he realized, I need to be close to my Father. That motivates me. You see, this is all revealing the heart of the Father. So if we find ourselves in a place where we lack it with this and that, we need to just, am I keeping myself close to my Father? That should be a motivation. Amen. Verse 18, watch this. He says, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, watch this, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So he was going to give a little feel sorry for me speech. Really, this was, you know, self-preservation more than anything. But you can see he's realizing the heart of his Father, and he's saying, you know, he takes good care of those around him, and he's going to give me a chance, so let me go. Isn't that so? So what does that reveal to us when he said, yeah, I will go to my Father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against you. He refers to him as Father. In other words, what this reveals to us is that wherever we are, whatever circumstances we may be in, we can always go to our Father. Amen. We can count on him. We can, because he's always going to be there for us. That's the realization this young man came to. And Jesus is revealing the heart of the Father to us here. So what he's saying to us is that no matter where you are, no matter what you've been going through, no matter what has been happening to you, you can always go to your Father because you can count on him and he's always there for you. Amen? I mean, I thought someone would be excited about that, but I'll just carry on. I am. I'm excited about it. Luke 15, verse 20. Watch this. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I looked up that word, fell on his neck. It's the exact same word that was used in the book of Acts when it said the Holy Spirit fell on those in the upper room. I mean, he literally just came upon him to overwhelm him, to give him certainty. Isn't that amazing? But so his father saw him, ran to him, fell in on his neck and kissed him. What does that reveal to us? What was Jesus showing us here about the Father? No matter what condition, what your condition may be, God loves you and believes in you. Isn't that so? That's what it's showing us. God believes in you. Amen. Another thing we see here is no matter how far off you may have been from him, he is always on the lookout for you, waiting and ready to love you and embrace you unconditionally. Too many times religion and legalistic teaching tells people that they need to repent, they need to make right, they've lost fellowship with God, they've lost relationship with God. Jesus doesn't say that here. This man went against everything. He offended his father by saying, give me my inheritance now because I can't wait until you die. Then he went and he blows it without respect. And then he comes back literally destitute with a speech to feel sorry for him. And the father wants none of it, and he just loves him and embraces him and loves on him. That's what it means to know God as Father. Amen. He's always looking out for us. I know we have our down times. I know sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. I know sometimes we have pity parties. I know life can be tough. I know sometimes things happen that we don't want them to happen in a certain way. But God is always there for us, ready to love us and comfort us. Amen. To embrace us unconditionally, really. Isn't that so? You see, why is that? Because your Father believes in you. Everyone else may have stopped believing in you. And as you know, if you read this whole thing, we won't read the whole thing, but this young man's brother didn't believe in him because he said, why are you doing this for him? Right? But his Father believed in his son. So no matter how low you and I may sink, our Father will always believe in us. That's what it means to know God as Father. He will always believe in us. Are you with me? Yeah. I know sometimes we look in the mirror and we feel disappointment. We think, you know, what have you done? What have you done with your life? What this, what that? Well, if you know God as Father, no matter how low we sink, we know that He still believes in us. There's always one who believes in us. Now, this is also showing us the heart of how God wants us to be as fathers. Let me tell you something. I was sobbing putting this together because I haven't always been this to my daughter. And I'm going to trust God to help me be this. Amen. Get that religious, legalistic, I've got to be hard on you and push you as far away as I can over time. That must not happen. This is how we need to reflect the heart of our Father. Amen. God will help us. Amen. Now, what else do we see in that portion we've read? The Father is always moving toward us. He's not moving away from us. He was looking out for him. And then the minute he realized, ha, it's him, he started moving towards him, but running towards him. That's what it shows us about the heart of the Father. He's longing for us. He's longing to be close to us, to love us, to embrace us, not to shame or humiliate us. When the son began his little speech, notice, if you go read it again, he cut him off. He cut him off. He didn't want to hear it. Why? Because he didn't want to shame him or humiliate him. He just wanted him to know, I love you, I believe in you, and I'm here for you. That is the heart of a father. Amen? The Father is always full of compassion toward you. Always. The cross took care of that, isn't it? What happened at the cross? Were you judged for all your sin at the cross? You know that some people believe that they were judged for their past sin. Some people believe they were judged for their present sin, but not for their future sin. So it's Jesus plus their merits and performance. I can't atone for my sin. Repentance, confession is never going to atone for my sin. It is only sacrifice and death that atones for my sin. And Jesus did it on the cross. When Jesus was hung on the cross, let's say this is timeline. This is year 2000, around there where he was crucified, right? He has me, no, not 2000, but anyway, zero. And here I am at 2022, okay? When he was crucified here for my sin, what tense was all my sin in at that time? Was it in the past tense, the present sin, or the future? All my personal sin was in the future because I wasn't alive here. So for me to come up with the argument that my past sin, my present, that's legalism, that's religion. He dealt with all of my sin. And because he dealt, that doesn't motivate me to go and sin. That doesn't motivate me to go and live an ungodly life when you realize what he's done for you. What it does is it helps me appreciate the God of my God is my Father. And this is why he is full of compassion towards me, because he has forgiven me. He has forgiven you, amen. So he's not angry or mad at you. I mean, if anything, he's mad about you. If you want to put mad into your relationship with God, that's the only mad you can put into it. He's mad about you. He's not mad at you. Because all the madness he had toward you was taken care of at the cross in Jesus. Not only did he die for you, but he also died as you. So all the madness that he had was dealt with then. So no longer is he mad at you, he's mad about you. Amen. That's the heart of the Father. Look at verse 22. Luke 15, verse 22. Let's see what we see here. It says, but the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. Well, who do you think owned the best robe in his household? It's his own robe. He says, bring the best robe I have and give it to him. Isn't that what God has done for us? The Bible talks about us receiving the robe of righteousness in Jesus. That's exactly what God did. At the cross, when our sin, when the sin issue was dealt with, God looked at us and he said, bring the best robe and put it on them. And he gave us the robe of righteousness. Amen. So he says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. Well, what does that represent? It was a signet ring. You know where it has the household or the family emblem on it? And if you go shopping, in those days they didn't have cards or scanners or Apple Pay or whatever it is that you use. What they did is they would, with that ring, they would just put a seal on, and then that would be sent to the household and charged from the household, from the income of the house. And so by putting on that ring on him, what it did for the son is it basically restored him and said, you don't have to worry about being taken care of. I've got you. Just use my authority and my ring, and you can have whatever you like. In other words, you are provided for. I mean, that's amazing. And then he says, and sandals on his feet. In those days, it was custom that household servants always walked around bare feet. Because number one, they couldn't afford sandals, but number two, it was the best, easiest way for them to serve. It was only sons and children of the owner, of the property owner, whatever you want to call it, the household owner, they were the ones that could afford shoes and had shoes and sandals. And so by God saying, I mean God, but it is God, by the Father saying, put sandals on his feet, what is he doing? He's restoring him completely to full status, in case he didn't get it, but because the Father never disowned him as a son. It was for the son to catch a clue. Are you with me? So what do we see in all of this, in this portion that we've seen here? What we see is that the Father only celebrates you. Isn't that what his Father did? He cut him off when he was giving him the son was giving his little speech, right? The Father only celebrates you. He never just tolerates you. Some people, we all have this experience, some people make us feel tolerated. Some make us feel celebrated. My mom always made me feel celebrated. But some people that I know make me feel tolerated. And you know, whatever it is, let it be. But the point is that God is not like that. If you feel tolerated by God, it's because you need to get to know him as Father. Because he always celebrates you. Amen. Amen. That's my heart for my daughter. I don't want her to ever feel like I tolerate her. I want her to know that I celebrate her. Amen. And then, of course, as I said, the best robe was his robe. Why did he give him that? Because his heart, the Father's heart, is always to give his son the best. And that's what he's done for you and I. Amen. Now, the Father restores and celebrates us. He is ready to give us chance after chance. Or should we say, chance after chance. Isn't that so? I mean, this son, from a legalistic point, from a religious point, didn't qualify. But praise God that he doesn't relate to us that way. He'll give us chance after chance and restore us and celebrate us. Amen. And of course, with the ring, as I've said, he gives us his authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. Right? And then secondly, of course, it says that you will never go without again because you have the purchase power to get what you need. And isn't that what God has said? I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. My God supplies all my need according to his riches. You see, it's when our heart connects with that and seeing him as Father, that we can say, yes, Father, I know that you give me chance after chance. I know that you provide for me. I have your authority. Praise God. Amen. And then, of course, I spoke about the sandals, and I told you what that means. So let's have a look at the last one. Luke 15, 24. It says, for this my son, watch this, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, did this son physically die? No. But at the end of the day, what this shows us here about the heart of the Father is his focus on what is and what will be instead of what was. Isn't that so? And then he says, celebrate. He's telling everyone in his household to celebrate because of what is and what will be, not because of what was. Amen. Do you see that? The Father does not live in your past. He lives in your present and in your future. Amen. And he rejoices over you with happiness. You know, you may remind yourself of what you've done and why you don't deserve God's love, but God isn't looking at it that way. He doesn't look at your past to determine how he feels about you today and tomorrow. He knows we make mistakes. He knows what we've done. The cross dealt with the judgment of that. That's why he looks at what is instead of what was. So the way we get to know the Father is not by looking at what was, but what is and what will be in him. Amen. Are you with me? I don't know if I've done it justice and in the time that I have, but I hope that I've shown you what knowing God as our Father looks like. Because that's what it looks like to know him as Father. He's loving, he's compassionate, he's merciful. He's always for us. He loves us dearly. He will give us chance after chance. He believes in us. He doesn't look at our past. He looks ahead. Amen. And that's why he wants us to see him as Father. Amen. And this is why only knowing God as Father will ever satisfy. Amen. Did that bless you today? I sure hope it did. Praise God. I know it did me.
We trust you were blessed by this message. For more resources and to support our ministry, please go to redemptioninjesus.com.